The Ticket.
Podcasts are brought to you in part by Lewis Jewelers, the official jeweler of The Ticket and proud partner of Michigan Athletics.
Good morning, Ann Arbor, Michigan. Happy Friday, everybody. It's Friday the 13th, Friday, December 13th, 2019. This is the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050, WTK, The Ticket, online at WTKA.com. Coming up on today's show here on the Michigan Insider, we'll, of course, talk a lot of Michigan basketball. The Wolverines have a big matchup at the Chrysler Center tomorrow at noon. We'll talk basketball, plus the recruiting roundup at 7:45. Sam will tell you who's coming in town this weekend as the Wolverines have another football visit weekend and, scheduled. Because this is it. This is the last schedule available time to have kids on campus before the couple days of quiet period. And then signing day, the early signing period starts on Wednesday. So big weekend for the Wolverines on campus. Sam will have that for you in the recruiting roundup coming up at around 7:45. 9 o'clock hour. John Ubakin will be back to join us here this week. Last week, if you recall, he was in Hawaii. He was running a 5K or something. I don't know. He'll tell you all about it in the 9 o'clock hour. In fact, he's going to be here for the entire 9 o'clock hour in studio joining us here on the show as we'll talk some Michigan basketball, talk some Michigan football, and a whole lot more with our good friend John Ubakin, who will be, again, in studio with us for the entire 9 o'clock hour. But as I said, a lot of basketball on the show here this morning as the Wolverines host the Oregon Ducks, the 10th-ranked Oregon Ducks here at the Chrysler Center coming up. Now, tomorrow, tip-off is at noon, so I figure we should tell you a little bit about the Oregon Ducks. And for the Oregon Ducks, things start and roll with the main man. His name is Peyton Pritchard. He plays about 35 minutes a game. He averages about 19 points a game, over 4 rebounds a game, over 6 assists a game, about a steal and a half per game. He shoots about 40% from long range, 71% from the free throw line, 50% from field goals. He is the straw. He is a 6'2" senior guard from Oregon. He's a home state kid for the Ducks. He's a very good basketball player. Needless to say, he is the main guy for them. This is one of those when you look ahead of time and you want to see, you know, what do matchups look like and who are some of the key matchups, who's going against who, what could be a fun matchup during your season. This is as good as it gets, point guard matchup. Of course, you'll see Michigan when Cassius Winston and Michigan State takes on Michigan, you'll have the X versus Cash matchups. But this is another one. This is a unique one-off prime time type point guard matchup between Xavier Simpson and Peyton Pritchard. X needs to be on his P's and Q's on this one. He needs to stay out of foul trouble in this one. He'll get some help, I'm sure, from Eli Brooks and David DeJulius, but Xavier Simpson, Peyton Pritchard is going to draw his attention most of the game. So Pritchard's a guy, as I mentioned, 18 points, nearly 19 points a game this year. He's been really solid these last few years. I mean, he's a name we should recall. Michigan played him a few years ago. He started as a freshman. He played as a freshman, averaging about, he's been playing 28-plus minutes a game since he got on campus. And he was a 7-point scorer as a freshman. He was a 14, nearly 15-point scorer as a sophomore, about a 13-point scorer last year. But he's been playing about, 28 minutes a game his freshman year and then 35 minutes a game since. And so he's a big-time player, a really good shooter. His shooting percentage was down a little bit last year. His numbers were all down, in fact, a little bit last year, except for his free-throw numbers. But now he's he was over 40% as a sophomore from long range. Last year he was down below 33%, and now he's back up close to 40%. The only number that's down this year in comparison to his career numbers is his free-throw shooting percentage, which is at 71%. But everything else is higher. His field goal percentage is the highest it's been in his career. His three-point percentage is not quite as high as it was his sophomore year, but it's close, and it's a lot better than it was last year. Again, his free-throw percentage is the lowest it's been in his career, but his assist rate, his rebound rate, the highest they've been. But also, and this is important, the other thing that's the highest it's been since in his college career, his turnover rate. As a freshman, 1.4 turnovers per game. As a sophomore, a junior, 2 turnovers per game. This year, he is averaging 3 turnovers per game. So this is a guy who you can get to turn the ball over, and that would obviously take away a few of the Oregon possessions, give the ball back to the Wolverines. If those could be live ball turnovers, we talked about this on the show yesterday, live ball turnovers leading to much easier transition points would be a nice thing as well. So see if you can't force him into a few turnovers here and there. But his last game, I mean, he turned the ball. He's actually turned the ball over three times in each of his last couple of games, and that was against Hawaii and North Carolina. And the North Carolina game was down in the that battle for Atlantis because they were down there as well. They played Gonzaga, lost to them in overtime 73-72. They lost to North Carolina 78-74. So needless to say, a couple of teams that the Wolverines beat down there in Atlantis. The other team that Oregon played in Atlantis was Seton Hall, and that in that game, six turnovers for Peyton Pritchard, but it was actually in a win. They beat Seton Hall 71-69. So he's a guy that can get you between 15 and 20 points per game. He's a guy that can get you a double-digit assist game. He has the potential. He did that last game against Hawaii. He had six assists against Carolina, four against Gonzaga, and six against Seton Hall. I mean, he is the guy that runs that team. He is the main guy. And so you have to keep your watch out for him. And in fact, they're dominated when it comes to scoring. It's dominated by their backcourt. Their next two scorers, the other two double-digit scorers on their roster, are Anthony Mathis and Chris Duarte. I think that's how you pronounce his last name. Duarte is a 6'6 junior guard from the Dominican Republic. Mathis is a 6'4 senior guard. He is also from actually same town, West Lynn, Oregon, as Peyton Pritchard. I'm assuming that they were actually high school teammates. I did not confirm that before I actually said it, but I'm going to assume that they were high school teammates. And those guys, again, you need to watch out for them. In particular, Mathis, he's shooting over 50% from long range. Duarte is going to shoot from outside, but he's closer to 30% as opposed to the closer to 50% mark that Mathis is. So if you had your choice between those three guards of who to, quote unquote, let shoot. Now, Michigan doesn't give up a lot of three-point attempts as it is. But Duarte is the guy that you'd rather let shoot from the outside, and Mathis is the guy that you'd rather, you just want to kind of deny him. He shoots nearly 50% from the floor. He shoots over 50% from three, and he can be a real weapon for the Oregon Ducks. So you've got to watch out for this really talented backcourt. And, in fact, the next leading scorer on the team is also a guard, Will Richardson. And so they've a lot of guards coming in for this team.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Will Richardson comes off the is a guy that plays. He's, what, 6'5"? So a lot of length to their guards. They're in that 6'3 to 6'6 range for the most part. I guess Pritchard may be a hair shorter than that. But there's a decent amount of length for these for the guards. If Michigan wants to match him up guard for guard and at times go what we've seen with the we saw it in the last game, in fact. With X, Eli, and DDJ on the court together, they're going to give up a couple of inches, but they're going to get in your shorts and D you up and be real physical with you. So I would not be surprised to see that three-guard lineup for Michigan at times against the Oregon team that likes to play a lot of guards. The next guy on Oregon when it comes to scoring, averaging nearly 9 points a game, is secured. I think it's Justin, but it's J-U-I-S-T-O-N. We'll find out some pronunciations when we get to the game tomorrow. Because, again, I've watched them play a little bit, but I don't pay a ton of attention, so I don't know all the pronunciations. But I watched them play a little bit in the battle for Atlantis, knowing that they were coming here for this matchup tomorrow. Shakur is a 6'7", 225-pound forward out of Newark, New Jersey. One of the things that you'll notice about Oregon as we go through the roster here, they're not a really tall team when it comes to who's out there. The When you go through the minutes played on the roster, of course, Pritchard's number one. Justin, who I just mentioned, is next on the list. And then Duarte and Richardson and Mathis. These are guys I all mentioned. They're 6'7", and they're all between 6'2 and 6'7". The next guy on the list is Francis Okoro, averages about 20, 21 minutes a game. He's 6'9", 235. He is out of Nigeria, sophomore for the Ducks. He's the biggest guy that plays regularly, or at least has the most minutes when it comes to having size. Again, he only plays about 21 minutes a game. Everybody else in the roster averages less than that. Then you have Chandler Lawson, C.J. Walker, a couple more forwards. C.J. Walker is a 6'8", 200-pound freshman out of Sanford, Florida. And so, again, not a really big guy. Chandler Lawson is 6'8", 205, a freshman at Memphis. So they've got some length, but not a ton of size. I'm not sure who exactly will be the matchup for John Teske in this one, because they're a uniquely talented team, Oregon is. They score about 79 points per game, so they're going to want to push the pace a little bit. They're not a really big team, as you just heard me go through. They'll get about six steals per game. They'll block some shots, though, because they have, again, they're not thick and big, but they do have some length, and they will D you up, and they will block some of your shots. And so it's a really intriguing, tough matchup. Michigan with a couple losses now in the season. Oregon 7-2 on the season. And so for both teams, really good opportunity, maybe one last good non-conference opportunity. Confirming this with, pretty much the last good non-conference opportunity for both teams to boost their resume. For Oregon, they have their record so far this year. The wins are over Fresno State, Boise State, Memphis, UT Arlington, Houston, Seton Hall, and Hawaii. So for them, that Seton Hall win is a really nice win, but they'd like to get one more marquee win over the fifth-ranked Michigan Wolverines and as they sit there at 7-2. And for Michigan, obviously, this is their last big non-conference matchup before they head into they got the two non-conference bye games coming up against Presbyterian and UMass Lowell before they get back at the Big Ten play. But for Michigan, with wins over Creighton and wins over Iowa State, North Carolina, Gonzaga, and that the conference win over Iowa, but this is the last chance for a non-conference, a really good non-conference win for Michigan as well. And so really, this is one of those games where the entire league wants you to win. I know it's a weird thing in college basketball during this early stages of your season, because in football, I mean, at least for me, when Michigan State or Ohio State or Nebraska, I go through most of the teams in the Big Ten because I don't like most of the teams in the Big Ten, throwing Penn State, when they play non-conference games early in the season in football, I don't generally root for them to win. I generally root for them to lose, although it depends on who they're playing. If they're playing Notre Dame or something like that, then it does give me, and some SEC schools, it does give me some pause to as far as who I want to see either win or lose that contest. But in non-conference basketball play, for me, for the most part, there are very few exceptions to the rule. For the most part, I want to see Big Ten teams win. I know it may be painful to see Ohio State right up there at the top of the rankings because they're undefeated right now and they're having a really good season. And they're 9-0 in the country, and they're a top two team, depending upon which poll that you look at. But for me, it's Maryland was undefeated going into this week before they lost to Penn State. Granted, that's a uniquely different school for me because of my allegiances having gone there and being from there. But I generally root for Big Ten teams to win these non-conference games. Don't get me wrong, when they lose some, I may laugh a little bit about it. When Michigan State loses to Virginia Tech, I'm going to have a slight chuckle because Virginia Tech is not a very good team this year. But the non-conference wins in November and December are really beneficial in March. So when Michigan gets the wins over Gonzaga and North Carolina, it boosts the ratings of the entire league. And so the entire league is going to get the benefit of the doubt. So if you're looking at, if you end up with two teams, let's just say Michigan and, I'm going to look at someone around them in the rankings, Michigan and Kentucky. And so you're Michigan and Baylor. And you look at their, and they say their resumes, when they get to the end of the year, their conference records are fairly similar. Their overall records are fairly similar. You're going to look at who some of the marquee opponents were, but you're also going to see what kind of league do you have. And the reputation of your league will be boosted by how many good non-conference wins you've had. the more good non-conference wins you've had, then as you beat each other up in league play, well, oh, you lost to this team, but they beat the number four team in the country. And, oh, you beat this team, and they also beat the number four team in the country. Ooh, you must be really good. It's not that it's a transitive property, but it does help the league rating. And the committee does look at those things that, along with your quad one wins and quad two wins, they will see. And what helps boost those numbers as well is what league you're in, because you're going to be inflated if your league has good non-conference early season wins. So for the league in general and for Michigan very specifically, a big matchup coming up tomorrow at the Chrysler Center, and I'm really looking forward to heading on over there before I have to head out to Grand Rapids for an event for my wife's work. I'm really looking forward to being at the Chrysler Center tomorrow to see the Maize and Blue take on the Oregon Ducks. Should be a really fun game. Should be a fairly high-paced game. Should be an entertaining game. You've got some really good players on the floor. I mean, you've got X is number two in the country right now in assist rate. You've got two of the highest scoring teams in the country that are going out there on the floor in these two squads. For Michigan, they're I just lost their number. They were up here. Both top 40. Let's put it this way. Both top 40 or so in the country in scoring. They're going to try to push the pace just like you saw from, I mean, Gonzaga is a high-paced team. Michigan played a good pace with them. Iowa, obviously, a high-scoring team. Michigan played up to pace with them. North Carolina as well. And I expect the game tomorrow to have a pretty decent pace to it at times. But I also expect at times that Michigan, like we've seen in some of their bigger matchups, they're going to get bogged down offensively. And what do you do when you get bogged down offensively? You have to turn up that defense a little bit more to force some maybe easy transition buckets. Also, if shots aren't falling, you need to get inside and attack the rim a little bit more, feed the post a little bit more when shots are not falling from the outside. But at the same time, what do shooters do to get out of slumps? Sometimes you just need to flat out shoot yourself out of the slump. And so if Michigan's shooting woes continue tomorrow into the game, I do expect them to keep on shooting, because you need to shoot yourself out of it, and sooner rather than later. Tomorrow would be a great time to shoot yourself out of what is a pretty fairly short slump offensively, shooting-wise, from the outside for Michigan. But tomorrow would be a good time to start hitting some more shots. Step aside, take a break. Continue our basketball conversation with more of that Sam Webb, Tim McCormick, Phil Martelli conversation. We'll get to that next here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTK, The Ticket.